that sought to intervene, was it?
It was not, Your Honor, and so I was kind of posturing a two-pronged issue. So you're correct. It's the beneficiaries of the trust that sought to intervene. And so, in my view, kind of a preliminary question is whether the trust can intervene, and then if the trust can do so, but refuses to and fails to do so, can the beneficiaries then directly do that themselves? And so that is the specific issue on appeal.
Do you have a timing issue here, too?
Well, the defendant in the case...
What was the status of the case when you sought to intervene?
The status of the case was that it was set for trial in approximately 6 weeks at the time that the complaint intervention was filed. The plaintiff in the case is Dr. Ryan, the founder of Streck, and a trust which owns shares on his behalf of the company, 50% of Streck.
What was the purpose of the trial that was set?
The trial was to determine fair value of Dr. Ryan's 52% ownership.
So some of the trains already left the station at that point, is that correct?
Well, in the defendant's view, yes. However, our response to the timeliness objection is that the beneficiaries of the trust were strung on for months and years by the trustee in this case, saying, you know, we're looking at the case, we're communicating with Streck and his counsel, we're communicating with the other defendant, Connie Ryan, and her counsel. We're keeping up with what's going on in the court, and we're going to intervene if we need to, if it looks like, you know, the time has come for us to do so. And so Stacy Ryan, Tim Coffey, and the Coffeys were having those communications with them for well over a year, and kind of being strung along and saying, we're still looking at it, we're still deciding. Well, at the time of the intervention, 6 weeks or so before the trial, they had just learned that the trustee wasn't going to do anything to intervene into the case. And it was at that point that they decided they had to act themselves in order to protect the assets of the trust and their interests as beneficiaries.
At the point the intervention was sought, was there a separate lawsuit seeking to remove the trustee?
Yes, there was. It had just been filed. I believe, in fact, in the same month that the intervention was filed. And so Stacy Ryan and the Coffey Kids were not part of that lawsuit filed in Douglas County, although they learned of it and were given notice of it since they were beneficiaries. And so they saw those allegations against First National Bank about a conflict of interest and all sorts of failures on their part to act in the interest of the other beneficiaries of the Eileen Ryan Trust. And that was another reason why all of a sudden in May last year, Stacy Ryan and the Coffeys realized they had to intervene at that time to do something.
Wouldn't the lawsuit directly against the trustee seeking to remove the trustee be the appropriate place to raise concerns about the trustee not intervening?
Well, it is being raised in those proceedings, Your Honor, but by the time those issues would be raised and adjudicated by the county court in Douglas County, the fair value trial would have already been had, and Dr. Ryan's 52% shares of Streck would have already been bought out, and the damage would be done. The shares and the value of the shares held by the Eileen Ryan Trust. And so it may be the damages might be possible. I mean, kind of having that fight in the county court right now, to be quite honest with you. But there'd be nothing that they could do to prevent the sale or the purchase of the shares of Dr. Ryan back by Streck.
I'd like to ask you about the framework as you posited it, being that you assert the trust has... would have an interest sufficient to intervene, but failing the trust or the trust refusing to do so, the beneficiaries would have authority to intervene. Our case law has said that to intervene under our statute, it must be a direct and legal interest. You agree with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Isn't the interest of the beneficiary of a trust as beneficiary only not a legal, it's purely an equitable interest? Isn't that the basics of a trust? The trustee holds legal title to whatever the trust raise may be, but the beneficiaries have nothing legal and only equitable. And if you agree with all of that, what does that do to your ultimate argument?
I'm not sure that the statute 25-328 makes a distinction, the legal equity distinction, perhaps, that you're suggesting.
Well, we've said direct and legal. Was that just a throwaway word?
No, Your Honor, and I'm not suggesting that either. I'm not suggesting reading that out. But I believe the beneficiaries have a legal interest in the assets of the trust as beneficiaries.
Now, we're going to overturn about 1,000 years of trust law in that way?
No, I'm not asking the court to do that. But there is an entire statutory section in the trust code that provides certain rights to beneficiaries, and those are statutory rights, which I believe would amount to a legal interest.
Which section to which you refer?
The trust code under Nebraska law.
Well, what section?
I might not be able to cite a specific the Nebraska revised statute section to it, but it's the Nebraska Uniform Trust Code.
Okay.
So if we search that code with great diligence and we don't find anything that says that the beneficiaries have a legal interest in the trust property, what does that do to your argument?
Well, again, I have to go back to, I don't believe that the intervention statute, 25-328, is making an equity versus legal distinction. I mean, I think the legal interest in that context is not the equity versus legal.
So what does the word legal mean when we've said direct and legal? It obviously means something other than just direct. What does it mean?
I believe it means a right under the law, and there's a statutory right of the beneficiaries to be able to do things to have courts look at how a trustee is acting and how it protects their interests and whether it's abiding by its statutory and common law duties to protect the assets.
Are we going to find in the trust code a provision that allows a beneficiary to intervene in litigation over a trust?
I don't know that it says that specifically, but I can tell you that it's been done in the County Court of Douglas County, where the beneficiaries did intervene into that trust matter that Justice Stacey mentioned.
So we may see that someday, yeah.
I suppose, Your Honor, I suppose. I do have about 2.5 minutes left,
right.
If I can reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Ms. Butter?
Peter.
Ms. Buter, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Victoria Buter, and along with Ronald Reagan, I represent the appellee Streck in this case. I would like to split a little bit of my time with my co-counsel, Larry Welch, who represents the co-appellee, Connie Ryan. I'd like to save 2 minutes of my time for Mr. Welch. I think I will...
So you're going to be using 8 minutes?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you. I think I will start by addressing a couple of the questions that have been raised as to exactly what standing these particular appellants have to intervene in this case, and we would submit that they do not have any. I think it is very telling that if you look at their complaint and intervention, they did not attempt to bring a claim on behalf of the Eileen Ryan Trust. They brought claims as individuals and as beneficiaries of that Eileen Ryan Trust, and as Justice Castle alluded to, that gives them an equitable interest at best in the trust. They may never become shareholders of Streck. They are not shareholders of Streck. And at this point, they do not have requisite direct and legal interest for that reason. The only actual interest they're asserting in this particular litigation is that the Eileen Ryan Trust may be impacted by the determination of the fair value of Dr. Ryan's trust shares. There's no allegation that it will be, just that it may be. And that alone, we would submit, is a type of indirect and remote interest that courts deny intervention as a result of all the time. Furthermore, one of the issues that was raised in the opening argument relates to the timeliness of this appeal. And I would submit that that's very, very important in this particular case. We have looked at the case law. It is apparent in Nebraska this court has held that in the event an intervener waits to intervene, that unreasonable delay is an appropriate ground for the court to deny intervention, even if the intervention is as a matter of right under the statute. That case is the Mertz versus SEBA case that is cited in our brief.
Do we review that for discretion?
Yes, Your Honor, we would submit that that's an abuse of discretion standard with respect to the trial judge's order. And that case is clear that unreasonable delay can be grounds to deny intervention. In this case, if you walk through the timeline, it is clear that the appellant simply sat by and let things happen in this case and came in at the last minute and attempted to intervene right before trial. This case was on file from October of 2014. Streck made its statutory election in January of 2015. The true parties to the case engaged in significant discovery and other motion practice throughout the year of 2015. Stacey Ryan herself actually attempted to intervene in this litigation in June of 2015. That was denied, and that was not appealed from.
What status did she allege she was in her attempt to intervene?
In that particular case, Ms. Ryan was alleging that shares that Streck purchased from her back in 2012 should have been purchased for a different price. She ultimately ended up filing that as a separate lawsuit. That
she claimed she was a beneficiary, or what was
it? It was as an individual former shareholder of Streck.
Former shareholder.
Correct. And that case ended up in federal court and was dismissed on a motion to dismiss and is on appeal at this time.
In the most recent attempt to intervene, was there anything about the attempt to intervene that would have, either by necessity or by request, have extended the trial date?
Based on the timing of the intervention and the discovery that was served by the interveners at the time they attempted to intervene, we believe that they would have immediately sought an extension of the trial. The only thing they're actually challenging in the complaint and intervention is the issue of the election, whether or not the election is valid. That actually has been decided through summary judgment, a motion for partial summary judgment. The case law is clear in Nebraska. This court has held that when an intervener intervenes, if they're permitted to, they take the case as he or she finds it. They are bound by their prior proceedings. They cannot go back and try to undo what has taken place. We would have argued to the district court that as a result of that, the trial should not have been delayed. But we do believe, and I do, my recollection as an officer of the court, to represent to you that that was something that the appellants did seek or were going to be seeking to do.
I was just going to say, isn't the effect upon the trial an inherent part of the latches argument? No matter when it occurs, as long as it doesn't delay trial or otherwise prejudice the parties under the statute that simply says intervene before trial, I'm not sure how latches would apply. Do you disagree with that?
I would disagree, Your Honor, because I think that there is prejudice to having another party who has not been involved up until this time come into trial and try to participate. If they were allowed to participate in the trial, it would result in, I think, extending the trial greatly because of the additional witnesses, the additional questioning that would take place. So I think there would be a prejudice from that perspective. I would also submit that, you know, as we discussed before this court about...
That would be true of any intervention, though, wouldn't it?
That would be
true. No matter when it occurred, so...
It would be true of any intervention, and it goes back to why this court has prudently stated interveners should not be guilty of unreasonable delay. They should intervene at the first possible opportunity to try and allow that to happen, to narrow the issues and to have everybody up to speed when you finally get your trial in the case.
Counsel, was the point or the focus of the intervention here, the second intervention, to challenge the validity of the election that had been made?
Yes, it was, Your Honor.
And if that was the purpose of the intervention, wasn't it seeking to undo the summary judgment that had already been entered?
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think if you look at the oral argument or the hearing that took place, Judge Estera actually said at one point, you know, there's nothing I can really do here. That issue has been decided. The same arguments that the appellants are making were made to the court by plaintiff's competent counsel at the time the summary judgment hearing took place. And the district court had already ruled on that. And because of the fact that interveners must take the case as he or she finds it, even if they are permitted to intervene, then there was nothing the court could do for them. They could not grant the relief that the appellants were seeking in their complaint. Unless the court has any further questions for me, I will now defer to my co-counsel, Larry Welch, for the remainder of the argument.
Thank you very much. Mr. Welch, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Justices. Larry Welch, Jr. on behalf of Constance Ryan. It's always a pleasure to be here. We're pretty far down the road with respect to this now, especially in light of these questions, so I thought I'd reiterate a couple of points because I think the analysis here requires certain layers. There's a couple of layers that haven't even been broached yet. The first threshold question, in a case like this, when the corporation is a party litigant and its decisions are being made and governed by the board of directors, is whether a shareholder, assuming that Stacey Ryan and her siblings were actually shareholders, which they are not, if they were a shareholder, could they intervene in this lawsuit? on behalf of the corporation, specifically with regard to their specific request here, which is to overturn a decision of the board in connection with that litigation. And we have cited to Texas authority and the Gould case in the Fourth Circuit for the proposition that, and this is very important, you can only imagine how this would open Pandora's box to the extent that shareholders start intervening in corporate-related lawsuits to attack decisions that are being made by the board. But in the Gould case, the court clearly held that, look, shareholders' interest is economic. Truer words cannot be spoken with respect to this situation, where the shares of stock that are actually owned by the trust are non-voting shares, purely economic gifted shares. As to those economic shares, the court in Gould stood for the proposition that, and I love the quote in there, they say, in a sense, every company's stockholders, bondholders, directors, and employees have a stake in the outcome of litigation involving the company. But this alone is insufficient to imbue them with the degree of interest, that direct and legal interest, Your Honor, required under Rule 24A, which is the federal rule that's like our rule, the direct and legal interest. So as a threshold matter, a stockholder would not have a right to intervene in a lawsuit as it relates to a corporation, absent other things. That's the first layer. But as Vicki was pointed out, or Ms. Buter pointed out to you all, she's not a stockholder. The trustee is the stockholder in this particular case. The trustee knowingly looked at this. She pled as much and opted not to intervene. So there's a double level of usurpation trying to go on here, right? It is the beneficiary trying to usurp the authority of the trustee in connection with their decision not to intervene. As to the trustee then trying to intervene in the lawsuit to usurp the authority of the board in connection with its decision to elect to purchase these shares. So with that equitable interest that Ms. Ryan has with respect to being a beneficiary of this trust that owns shares, she may never own shares in this company. She's attempting to intervene here.
Is it an equitable interest or is it simply a contingent interest?
I believe it to be a contingent interest. There's a life estate in Dr. Ryan, a contingency whereby she could possibly become a shareholder at some point in time in the future, depending on what happens between now and Dr. Ryan.
So contingent shareholders don't have any status to bring actions involving the corporation's decisions.
They do not, Your Honor. So that's just the first two layers before you get to the third layer. So in the event that the shareholder has a right to intervene, and then in the event that a beneficiary would have a right to usurp the authority of the trustee and intervene, then you get to the issue of whether there's timing. And rather than going into that, I think Ms. Buter discussed that already, but the issues of timing on many levels. You can't intervene too late. You can't intervene after a judgment on the very issue that you seek to attack.
So, is the standard for intervention on the third argument abuse of discretion?
I believe it is, Your Honor. That's all the time I have. If there are any other questions. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
There is 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
2 minutes and 35 seconds. Ms. Barissa.
Thank you, Your Honor. I may not have much time. I'll do my best to get through some points here and kind of start backwards with where counsel left off. Ms. Ryan and the Coffee Kids interest is not contingent in this case in the trust. They are current income beneficiaries of that trust and entitled to income if the trustee would decide to give them some.
How would their income be affected by a ruling on the fair value of the stock?
Well, the effect to the income of the beneficiaries requires a little explanation, and I'll try to do that. Besides being direct income beneficiaries right now, the Ryan children are also entitled to half of one-fifth of the assets held by the Eileen Ryan Trust upon the passing of Dr. Ryan. And so Dr. Ryan is 89 years old.
Is that a contingent interest?
It is certain. I mean, it's contingent in the sense that it doesn't happen until Dr. Ryan passes away.
No, that'd be a future interest. The contingent interest would be something that might not happen at all.
You're right.
So is it a vested remainder or a non-vested remainder?
Vested, Your Honor. The trust is irrevocable and is clear that this money is going to the beneficiaries upon the passing of Dr. Ryan.
Does Dr. Ryan have any power under the trust to appoint the property to someone else?
None.
All right.
Power within the trustee. And so, and I may have even misspoke, because it's not money that's going to the beneficiaries. It's the 40% shares of Strzok that's going to the beneficiaries. And so what they're facing is, if Dr. Ryan passes away, the trust is obligated to reimburse Dr. Ryan to pay state taxes that will be owed on his estate. And so the trust is completely over at this point. It only owns Strzok shares. It's a captive owner of Strzok, I guess, which is a family mostly held corporation. Absolutely no market to share those, to sell those shares, except back to Strzok. And so the value will be determined of Dr. Ryan's shares at the fair value trial. And then upon Dr. Ryan's passing, the trustee will be captive to sell back in order to pay taxes. And that value will be the value that's determined by Judge Estera in district court, given kind of the timing and certainty of everything that's going on all at one time. And so the other thing I wanted to mention is that I don't believe it's an abuse of discretion standard on any of this. I believe under the Spear T. Ranch case, it's a de novo review. It's a review as a matter of law on whether the intervention should have been allowed. And we're at a pleading stage. May I finish this?
You may finish that thought.
We're at the pleading stage, also under Spear T. What the district court was supposed to be looking at is the sufficiency of the allegations in the intervention. We went further and even offered affidavits to be able to show the efforts that Stacey Ryan and the Coffees went through in order to try to learn from the trustee what it was doing to protect their interest, and kind of show the timing of how they were doing everything they could to keep apprised of the case, learn what was going on, learn the effect on the value of their shares, and then seeing that the trial was about to happen to determine their fair value, realized they had to intervene at that point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. Court is adjourned, and you are excused.